Today's shir is Daf Tzadik Beis, and we'll begin with the last words of Daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, Amlai Ravina Lervashi. Yesterday, we learned a machlokes between Rav versus Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan in the Shita of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says that for utensils that were not in the house before Shabbos began, they were outdoors, you're allowed to carry them from Gagois to Chatzeros to Kafifos. Kalim that were in the house, Rav Shimon says he can't carry. So yesterday we had a machloikis, what happens if somebody made an Erev? So since he made an Erev, he will have in his Chatzer two types of Kalim. He'll have Kalim that were outdoors, that can be transported further, and have Kalim that were indoors, that may not be transported further. So Rav said, to avoid mix-up, in such a situation, Rav Shimon will agree that you can't move the kalim, any kalim, from Gagos to Chatzeres to Kafifos. Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. They said, what you can move, you can move, and what you can't move, you can't move. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan say this way, that you can move what you can, and what you can't, you can't. V'am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, we know throughout Shas, has a rule that Halacha Kistam Mishnah. We always follow Stam Mishnah. Matanan. And we learned the Mishnah. We learned it, we mentioned this Mishnah many times. Kaisel Shebein Beis Chatzeros. You have a wall between two Chatzeros. And the wall is Gevayas Sarav Arachav Arba, 10 Tfachim tall, 4 Tfachim wide. The halacha is, since you have such a significant partition between these two chatzeros, the halacha is ma'arvim shnayim ve'ei ma'arvim echad. These two chatzeros have to make separate a reuven. Hoya b'roshe peris, if on top of this wall there are fruit, so eil oilem oichlem mikam v'oichlem, the people from one chatzor go up to the top of the roof and eat, ve'eil oichlem mikam v'oichlem, and they can eat also on top of the roof, uvach lo yiridu lamata, but they can't move it from the top of the roof. So let's understand the situation here. Let's understand it well. We're talking about peiros that were outdoors from before Shabbos. Number two, we're talking about a situation that the two chatzeros did not made their own eruvin. If we follow Rabbi Yochanan's psak, the halacha ought to be that the peiros that are on top of the wall, which were outdoors from before Shabbos, I should be allowed to move to a chatzor, because they were outdoors all along. If I follow Rav's psak, even though these peiros were out from before Shabbos, since I have an Erev here, and Rav says that once I have an Erev, in order to avoid the confusion and making a difference between peiros, making a difference between items that were affected by the Erev and items that were not affected by the Erev, don't move anything. Isn't that what the Mishnah is saying? I have fruit out here. I have Erevs. And that's why the Mishnah says, don't move the fruit. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the fruit that was out there should be allowed to move. The fact that there's an Erev, according to Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, doesn't affect those peiros. Yet the Mishnah says it does. So you'll tell me that this Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with. He'll say that Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree with this Mishnah. But we have, says the Gemara, a klal, that Rabbi Yochanan holds, because halacha is Stam Mishnah. Then when you have a Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan does follow it. So what are we going to do? Answers the Gemara. You know what my lamata means? Lamata doesn't mean that you're not allowed to carry it between the chatzeres. You are allowed to carry it between the chatzeres, even though there's an Erev. You know what lamata means? Lamata labatim. You're not allowed to carry it to the houses. That you're talking not allowed to do. Because you only could carry, according to everybody, even according to the most lenient interpretation of Rabbi Shimon, you're only allowed to carry things that were outside, in outside areas, like we learned yesterday. Gagois, Chatzeres, Kafifois. But you can't carry it to the house. When the Mishnah says don't carry it lamata, it doesn't mean don't carry it to the Chatzar. To the Chatzar you can carry it. Don't carry it to the house. Ask the Gemara, but Tana Rabchir learned the Braisa in explaining the Mishnah and said, Obavad, that you have to stand on top of the wall and eat it on top of the wall, and you can't move it to the Chatzar. So how could you tell me, ask the Gemara, that when it says lamata, it means don't carry it to the house, but you can carry it to the chatzar. Here it says you can't carry it even to the chatzar. You have to leave it on top of the roof, on top of the wall. Amalei. So he answered, "V'chi Rebbe leishoner, Rav Chiya menayimlei." Rav Chiya maybe said that in the Mishnah, but if that was correct pshat in the Mishnah, why when Rebbe wrote the Mishnah didn't he say it? It must be because Rebbe doesn't hold that way, and Rebbe holds you can move it in the chatzar. It's only to the house you can't move it. So now Rabbi Yochanan and the Mishnah work perfectly. The Paris are outdoors, and they can be moved, even though there was an Erev here. Just don't take it into the house. Itma. So again, let's just review for half a moment what we have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. When, according to Rav, even though Rav Shimon holds that you can move items that are outdoors, that's only if no Erev was constructed, because if there's an Erev, there's an issue of confusion between the things that may be moved versus the things that may not be moved. And Shmuel holds what you move, what you can't move, you can't move. Itma. So now we have a situation of shtei chatzeros. You have two chatzeros, v'chur v'achs b'neim, and there's a ruin in between these two chatzeros. Connected to, next to the two chatzeros is a churva. Either it's owned by both of them, or it's owned by neither of them, according to Rashi. And now the question is like this: achas irva, the chatzer on one side did make an eriv, v'achas lo irva, and the chatzer on the other side didn't make an eriv. Now the question here is, this is actually diagram 324 on page 108. So let's make believe that the chatzar on the right side is the one that made an Erev, and the chatzar on the left side is the one that did not make an Erev. Om Rav Huna, who was a Talmud of Rav, and because he was a Talmud of Rav, followed Rav's psak, says, nois elezeh shelo irva. We say to the chatzar that didn't make an Erev, you could carry to this churva. Now you want to know who could carry to the churva and who can't. So we tell this guy on the left, you could carry. You know why you could carry? Because you didn't make an Erev. So Rav's concern of confusion isn't applicable to you, because you don't have anything from inside the house, because you didn't make an Erev between the chatzar and the house, and you could continue carrying from the chatzar to the churva. Avo, L'shir v'loy. But to the one that did make the Erev, the house on the right side, we won't let him carry to the churva. Why? Like Rav says, since he has an Erev, so now in his chatzar, there are two types of kalim. There are kalim that were outdoors all along, which may be moved, and there are kalim that were indoors, that were carried out due to the fact that it's an Erev. So Rav tells you, don't move anything. Dilma osa lafuki mani debat l'churva. Because we allow you to move anything, you may end up carrying what you're not allowed to carry. You may end up carrying things that were in the house, which you have no right to carry outside of the chatzar. The Chibarav, Omar, Chibarav says, certainly the one that made an Erev can't carry to the churva. But he goes a step further. He says, af l'shtirva. Even the one that made the Erev cannot carry. The shteim asuris, both are asur. Why? So let's understand. The one that made the Erev, it's very simple why he can't carry. The Gemara explained it right a line ago. Because since he has both types of kalim in his chatzar, to avoid the confusion, Rav says don't carry anything. But now Chiba Rav says that we go a step further. Even the one who did not make the Erev, so by him I have no concern of confusion, because he doesn't have anything from inside the house. He has no Erev. But if the people who made the Erev will see the people who didn't make the Erev carrying to the Churva, they'll also think that they're allowed to carry to the Churva. But they're not allowed to carry to the Churva. So in order to avoid any problems, nobody's allowed to carry. Vim timer. And if you tell me, you know what? You want to have consistency. So instead of having consistency that both should be Osir, have consistency that both should be Mutter. Vim timer, Shtei Mutaris. Both sides should be mutter. If that would be true, if that would be true, then the psak that we learned yesterday, that Rav said, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that whenever you have a situation that a chotzer didn't make an erev, that we say he can't carry, yet you have another chatzah that didn't make an Erev. He may carry. So you see, the Rav is committed that whenever you have a chatzah that made an Erev, he can't carry. So the Gemara is saying like this. There is, at this point of the Gemara, there is no way to say, according to Rav, that the chatzah that made the Erev should be allowed to carry to the Churva. Because since he made the Erev, we have a confusion issue. The only question you want to have is, what's the status of the chatzah that didn't make the Erev? So if you're going to want to be consistent, the only way you can be consistent is by saying both are usr. Saying both are mutter is not an option. Says the Gemara, you can't compare the cases. Hossam, what was the conversation that we had between Rav and Shmuel to now? We were talking about bringing things from the chatzah to another chatzah. Hossam, kiven mintri mani debatim b'chatzah, leaving something in a chatzah is a pretty safe place. And people carry regularly from one chatzah to another chatzah. That's why Rav said that if I'm going to allow you to carry from the chatzah, you may come asr lefuki. You may come even to carry something you're not allowed to carry, something that was in the house. However, hocha b'churva, where do you want to carry here? You want to carry from the chatzah to the churva. A churva is a place. Kim and elementary mani the chatzah b'churva, asr lefuki. People don't use the churva that much because things aren't well protected there. Therefore, the Gemara learns now, I can differentiate and say maybe from the Chatzah Shlo Irva, you'll be allowed to carry, and from the Chatzah Shlo Irva, you won't be allowed to carry. Ikadamri, others say, the Chiba Rav said, Aflish Irva, both are allowed to carry, Shtei Mutaris. Aye, how could you say both are mutter? From time, shouldn't you say that Shtei Mutaris? As we learned yesterday, that we never allow a chatz that made an Erev to carry further. So how all of a sudden today are you allowing the chatz that made an Erev to carry to another chatzer? Says the Gemara. Hossam, you know when I don't allow the chatz that made an Erev to carry further? That's only a case where the chatz is going to carry to another chatzer. And that's where I'm concerned that if you're going to carry the chayfetzim that were outdoors, you may come also to carry the items that were indoors that you got outdoors through Erev. But here, we're going to carry to the churva. That concern doesn't exist, and that's why it's not the same. Hossam, kiven the mentor, mani the batim b'chotzer. Since there, the place you're carrying to is a chotzer where things are well protected. Loisha barabonin. Chazal didn't let you carry anything because you may come to carry even things that you're not allowed to, the things that were inside that you relied on the Erev that you can't carry from Chatzah to Chatzah. Abachurva, since things aren't limitary, you could carry everything. Says the Mishnah, Gag Godel Samach Lakotin. Let's say you have a situation, we've learned such a case many times, where one roof, actually there's a diagram of this if you want to see it, it's diagram 315 on page 105. Gag Godel Asam. You have a big roof next to a small roof. The loch is a Godel Mutter Vakotten Asam. What does a Godel Mutter Vakotten Asam mean? The two Pshatim Rishayim. Rashi learns like this. Rashi says the people from the house under the large roof can carry things up to the top of the roof. Why? Because it's considered that the roof is enclosed roof. The people on the bottom of the small roof cannot carry items upstairs. Why can't they carry upstairs? Because the roof is considered open on one side. Why is it considered open on one side? Because since on the fourth side it's completely exposed to the big roof, so it's considered open on one side, and if it's open on one side you can't carry things up from downstairs upstairs. Others learn it's not very significant different pshat, that the question is, even if you have an item on the roof, we're not talking about carrying from downstairs upstairs. We're talking about items that are actually on the roof. The items that are on the big roof, since that roof is considered enclosed, you're allowed to carry. The items on the bottom roof, you can't. On the small roof, you can't because it's considered exposed. That's one halacha. Now another case, very similar case. Chatzah gedoyla shnifetz l'ktana, which is diagram 325. You have the chatzah gedoyla and the chatzik tana, gedoyla muteris, you can carry in the gedoyla, it's considered enclosed, the ktana asura, because it's considered exposed, because you have this opening, because the small one is considered just like an entranceway for the gedoyla, but the gedoyla is certainly not an entranceway for the ktana. we have to, first of all, there's a diyuk in the Mishnah that I'd just like to point out, that maybe we'll be able to say teretz as we learn the Gemara. The Mishnah isn't consistent with its terminology. By the gad gadol it says samach l'gad katan. By the chotz gadol it says shenifritza. Why here does the Mishnah use the lashon nifritza, which is broken, open, breached? The definition of the word nifritza is breached. Why? And in the ratio, the Mishnah doesn't use the word breached. That's one question. But let's go further. If you look at the Mishnah is telling us the exact same din twice. Once by a roof, and once by a chotzer. Why is the Mishnah telling us the same din twice? Lomeli l'misni tarti. So before we say the answer, we have to review a few halachas. We had a Gemara earlier in the week, a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, how far we could say good asik. According to Rav, we only could say good asik that the walls come up when you have minkra mechitza, that the walls are noticeable. If the walls are not noticeable, we don't say good asik. Shmuel has a much broader definition of good asik, and he says we always say good asik, even if loy minkra mechitza, even if the walls are not noticeable. One condition. The condition is that it has to be that loy dasa berabim, that the place where you want a wall to go up, people aren't walking. That's one word of introduction. Another word of introduction. Around a chatzar, as we see in this diagram, there are usually walls. The walls are minkara. Around the roof, there are usually no walls, like in diagram 315. One more point. According to Rav, who says that when the walls are not noticeable, we don't say good asik. What's going to be the din if you have a house? Let's look at any of the diagrams. The diagram we're looking at, 315, where you have your roof, and instead of the roof, the end of the roof and the wall coming at a sharp right angle, but you have this, and you have this in a lot of houses, the roof sticks out. It juts out. According to Rav, you couldn't say good asik, because it's loy minkra mechitza, the wall is covered, because you have that overhang preventing you from saying good asik. Now let's learn the Gemara. Says the Gemara, L'Rav Tani Gag Domi D'Chotzer. Rav is telling us that in this case we're saying good asik, right? Because that's how I say that the large wall is totally enclosed. There is no fence around it. I'm relying on good asik. Says Rav, you know why I could say I could rely on the good asik? Because it's Domi D'Chotzer. There has to be a situation that looks like a chotzer. What does it mean? Ma chotzer, in a chotzer. Back to diagram 325. The walls are very noticeable. Ma chotzer minkra mechitzta. Af gag nami minkra mechitzta. That's why I could say good asik. But were I to have a situation like I described a moment ago, where the floor of the wall, of the roof, jets out, that it overhangs, then Rav wouldn't be able to say good asik, and even the large roof would not be considered enclosed. Shmuel, just the opposite. Shmuel, I said a moment ago, has a very broad definition of a good asik. So if he has a very broad definition of good asik, so why in picture 315 doesn't he say, like that yellow line shows us, that that the wall should come up, and therefore even the small gag should be considered enclosed? Why does he only say the big gag is enclosed? So he says, because I'm comparing it to chatzar. A chatzar is an area that dies to be rabbin. People constantly walk. So too, this is an area where people constantly walk, which is preventing us from saying good asik for the small roof. But were I not to have that problem, then I would be able to say good asik, and even the small roof would be enclosed. B'shmu, gag domi de chatzar. Ma chatzar de kadosh le rabbin. Af gag the kadosh of a rabbim, people constantly walk, and that's preventing us from saying good asik. If I don't have kadosh of a rabbim, then even the small roof will be considered enclosed, and that's why it could be, and that's why I could say good asik. Now we can answer the kasha. What do we say is the fundamental physical difference between a gag and a chatzar? A gag, we said, doesn't have walls around it. A chatzar has walls around it. On a wall, you could use the word nifritza, breached. There has to be something to breach. But when you don't have a wall, you can't breach anything. That's why the Mishnah only said nifritza by chatzar, not by gag. Now, one more point. Very important point Taisus makes. Again, what are we saying here? That the Gdol is considered completely enclosed because it has like these L-shaped walls on the fourth side. The Ktana is considered open in diagram 325 because it has it's completely open on the fourth side. Says Tysus, and this is a word, way of introduction, that we learned the Gemara, the Lechi, that's not visible to somebody, still may be considered a Lechi. So says Tysus, if that's the case, yes, the people in the small gag don't see that bottom of the L, but it's there. So since it's there, why isn't it considered enclosed for them also? So Tysus says that's why we have to learn, that's how Tysus learns, that the wall that's going from the gag, from the small chatzar to the big chatzar, doesn't end on the sharp right, it goes further in. And that's why it's not a lechi. That's near. It's not a lechi at all because it goes further, straight into the big one. If not, I would have. It would be mutter even the small gag. Other rishonim disagree with Tysus. They say that the only time that a lechi works, even though I didn't construct it, is if I didn't. It's not visible, but I constructed it as a lechi. Here, it wasn't made as a lechi. It was made as a wall, so nobody would consider it a legitimate lechi. And yet other Rishonim, the Rambam says that this whole heter of a lechi, even though it's not visible to me, if it's there it works, is only by Hilchos Erevin. But as we begin now the sugya, we're going to see that our Gemara is not only talking about Erevin, it's going to be talking about other sugyas, and there we don't have this heter. Begins the Gemara. Yosu Rava Rav Zeir Rava Rav Nachman Yosu Abaye Gabaye Yosu Kamer Shmami Nami Masnisen. Learning our Mishnah, we can learn like this. The Yura Gedoyle B'Ktana, the small roof or the small chatzar is considered auxiliary to the large chatzar, but the big one is not auxiliary to the small one. And it'll be relevant for a lot of shilas halach lemais in our world. Ketzet. We know that halach is you're not allowed to plant klein. In the vineyard, you're not allowed to plant any different type of seed. Ketzet. So we have a situation, gefanim begedoyla, diagram 326. Osul is roya sektana. You're not allowed to plant in the small one. Even though normally the halacha is that if you just separate between the grape trees and the other growth with four amos, that's enough. Here, since the ktana is considered auxiliary to the big one, you can't plant anywhere. Now, there's an interesting machlokes Ritva and Rashi. What's going to be the halacha if in the gedoyla the first four amos in the gedoyla are fallow? What would be the halacha then? Ritva says then you would be allowed to plant in the ketana. Rashi seems to say that if the big one has grapes in it, you can't plant under any circumstances in the ketana. Now let's go the other way. That's the next thing. Okay, so gefanim gedoyla asul is roya sektana v'mzora. And if you did do it, zora mesurim. It's klein. How about the other way? Gefanim mutarim, but the gefanim amutah because it was a vineyard. Gefanim b'ktana. This is diagram 327. You have a vineyard in the ktana. Mutah l'zroya is a gdoyla. Now you can bring other seeds to the gdoyla. Why? Because since the gdoyla is not auxiliary to the ktana, so yes, the ktana may be a vineyard, but the gdoyla can't become bottle, can't become auxiliary to the ktana. Now, Rashi asks a very simple question. Rashi says in Klayim there are two Isurim. There's one Isur of planting Klayim. So here Rashi says there's no Isur planting Klayim because the Gedoyla is not auxiliary to the Ketana. But there's another Isur that the Ketana, that the Gedoyla, that the seeds that are growing in the Gedoyla are nourishing from the vineyard. That's a fact. You can't change that fact. So how could the Gemara say it's Mutter? That's Rashi's question. So Rashi answers, interesting answer. Rashi says that the only time that growths of klayim are osur is when you did an issa deraisa. What is an issa deraisa? The only time the Torah speaks about klayim deraisa is you plant a luf of canvas, that's canvas or luf, into next to vineyard. Any other time it's not an issa deraisa and the growths are not osur. Tysus doesn't like that teretz. Tysus says a very interesting teretz. Tysus says, look at the pasuk that speaks about klayim. The Torah says, "Sotcha loy karmacha Lesizra kamacha klein. What does the Torah say? In a kerem, the definition of a kerem is a vineyard, you're not allowed to plant klein. So says Tosfos like this. This is Pshat in our Gemara. In diagram 326, since the Ketana is auxiliary to the Gdoila, so the Ketana has the title, it has the category of a kerem. If it's a kerem, I can't bring anything else in there. In diagram 327, the Gdoila doesn't have a category of kerem. Why? Because it's not auxiliary to the Ketana. If it's not a kerem, I can plant whatever I want there. I didn't do anything wrong. Says the Migdash Dovid, what's going to be the nafgamina, the difference between Rashi and Tosfos? He says, in a case where it's not a kerem, Tosfos's pshat is only relevant by a kerem, because the Torah says kerem karma chalei sizra klaim. By anything else, Tosfos will agree it's aser. So according to Tosfos, let's say in 327 you didn't have a vineyard, you had one type of growth, and then you want to put in the big one a different type of growth, it would be aser. According to Rashi, it's still mutter. Another case. The halacha is when you give a woman a get, according to this Gemara, this is the way Rashi and Tosfos explain the Gemara, it's not enough that you put it into her property. She has to be at, if you put it into her hand, it's fine. She has to be at in her property when you give her a get. So Isha B'Gdoila, if the woman who you're divorcing is in the G'doila, the get B'Ktana, but the get isn't put into the large chatz where she is, it's put into the small chatz which is auxiliary, miskareshes, because it's considered auxiliary to the big chatzar, so it's considered that like in the big chatzar. However, if you put the get ish b'ktana, the woman is in the ktana, and you put the get in the g'doyla, ain't a miskareshes because it's not auxiliary. Another halacha, tzibur b'gdoyla. You have the tzibur is in the g'doyla, and the shlich tzibur is in a different area. Very relevant shaila. Tzibur, let's say your shul is made up that way. In fact, it could be, the place can speak about a shayla if the Baal Tefillah is standing on a bima, which is very tall, which is a separate rishus. So it's like this. Tzibur b'gdoyla v'shlich tzibur b'ktana. If the tzibur, if the minyan is in the large chatzar, and the Baal Tefillah, the chazan is in the ktana, since we said the ktana is auxiliary to the gdoyla, so it's fine. Yoytzi yidei chavosan. However, if tzibur b'ktana, the tzibur is in the small chatzar, v'shlich tzibur b'gdoyla, the G'doyla is never auxiliary to the Ktana, so it's Ein Yotzi Dechavosin, you're Shlich Tzibur, and you aren't in the same place. And the Farshim point out, here you see that the Tzibur is more important than the Shlich Tzibur. We say that where the Tzibur is the main place, not where the Shlich Tzibur is. Another halacha. We know a minyan you need 10 people. Tisha B'Gdoyla. So you have 9 people in the G'doyla, the Yochab B'Ktana, and one individual is in the Ktana. The halacha is mitzdarfin. You consider tefillah b'tzibur because the ktana is auxiliary to the gdoila, and that's why he's considered like he's in the gdoila. But let's say you have tish b'ktana, you have 9 people in the ktana v'ech b'gdoila, but the gdoila we said is never auxiliary to the ktana. Say mitzdarfin. You won't have tefillah b'tzibur. Let's talk about it. A lot of things to say in this. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch Rav and says a very big kula. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says that this Gemara is only speaking a case where the opening between the two areas is 10 amos or less. But if the opening between the two areas is wider than 10 amos, I don't have a problem. That's the Shulchan Aruch Rav. The Rajba says another heter. The Rajba says, this, again, because let's say you have people that are all over the shul and they have like crevices. He says, if they see each other, then they could all be mitzdarf. However, the Aruch HaShulchan says, seeing each other means that they see each other's face. Just seeing part of his body is not adequate, because the face is the most important part of the person's body. So seeing means seeing the face. That's one thing the Aruch HaShulchan says. The Kav HaChaim says, seeing means that they're seeing the face without any obstruction. So let's say you'll see him because you could see him through a window, or you could see him through some other way. That's not called seeing. It has to be a straight view without anything in between. The Aruch HaShulchan says another chumrah. The Aruch HaShulchan says that seeing is only if one group is, somebody's outside and the rest of the minyan is inside. But let's say they're both inside in different rooms. Even if they see each other, it won't be enough. Now, Tosfos begins to talk about a very important shaila. He speaks about a shayla. Let's say you have a shul. People, you have a minyan in shul. You have a minyan in shul. And you have outside the shul a person walking by. So there's a few shaylas that have to be discussed. The one shayla is, let's say the stamni is standing outside and they're blowing the shayfer inside or they're reading the Megillah. Is the person mekayim the mitzvah? So Taisa says he's mekayim the mitzvah. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. What's the reason? The reason is very simple. There is no din of a minyan anyway. There's no din of minyan for Kiyas Shofar. There's no din of minyan for Kriyas Megillah. Rav Adam had the smelach. It's nice to have a minyan, but it's not required. Another psak. Let's go there. What about answering Amen Kedusha? So that the Paiskim all say also that if there's a minyan inside and you're outside, you could say Kedusha, you could say Baruch Hu, everything fine. But the question that's very debated by the Paiskim, are you yoytze tefillah b'tzibur? Are you yoytze tefillah b'tzibur if you have a minyan inside, they're davening b'minyan, you're standing outside? It's a very big shayla in the Paiskim. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be machmer, but it's not clear. I saw in the Sefer Pnine Arav from Rav Yosef Ben Soloveitchik the following story, that apparently the Bes Medrash where they daven Mincha in Yeshivas Rav Yitzchak Elchanan was a small Bes Medrash, and there were a lot of Talmidim in the Shir, and they couldn't all fit into the Bes Medrash. It was very crowded if everybody tried to fit in. So some people stood outside when they davened, and they asked Rav Yosef Ben Soloveitchik if the people standing outside the Bes Medrash are Yoytze Tefillah B'Tzibur, and he said they are. That's what the Sefer Pnine Rav quotes Rav Yosef Ben Soloveitchik. But it's a big shayla in the Paiskim. Certainly the right thing to do is to daven inside the shul with a davening. Now, what? Because Kedusha is a question of answering. So if there's a minion that's saying it, so you're allowed to answer. Davening b'tzibur means that you have to be part of the tzibur. If you're not where the tzibur is, you're not part of the tzibur. Now there's one more shayla. What is the amount of people that you have to have inside? Is there any amount? The Gemara speaks about 9 and 1. That means the Gemara says that if you have 9 in the Gdoila and 1 in the Ketana, so the Ketana is auxiliary to the Gdoila and it's okay. Is that Dafka 9 and 1? What about 8 and 2 or 7 and 6 and 7 and 3? So Taisa says that as long as you have 9, as long as you don't have 5 and 5, as long as the majority is in one place, that means as long as you have the majority in the Gedola and you have the minority in the Ketana, it'll be fine. He says, but if it'll be 5 and 5, then it won't work. And certainly if it'll be more in the Ketana than in the Gedola, that the Gemara says won't work. So he says, if that that's good, 9 and 1, it can work up till 6 and 4. Oh, very good shayla. There's a snoshim viewed as a separate shayla. It really depends how firm the mechitzas are and if you can see the person. If you can't see the person, it certainly won't work. If you can't see him, according to Aruch HaShulchan, would be very hard to be mekel, because Aruch HaShulchan says that it has to be only outdoors to indoors. If it's one area, it's hard. Now, what's going to be the halacha like this? The halacha is, let's say you have 9 people in the Gedola. Interesting shayla that Achronim asked. You have 9 people in the Gedola and 9 people in the Ketana. If you only had 9 and 1, it wouldn't be a shayla. It's our Gemara. But now you have 9 and 9. So do I say that I'm pulling out one person from the Ketana and he's going to make the minyan in the Gedola and that's all I need? Or do I say you can't pull out one more than the other, they're all the same? So now what makes the Gedola more than the Ketana? It's maybe a situation where the Gedola is going to be mitzvah after the Ketana, which doesn't work. So the Chroin and Paskin that it's mutter, that would be considered tefillah b'tzibur if you have 9 and 9, 9 in the Gedola and 9 in the Ketana. I didn't see anybody should say that. Continue to Gemara. We know that you're not allowed to daven with his tzoya, with his waist. So if there's tzoya b'gdoila, if there's tzoya in the large chatzar, os likris krishma b'ktana. Even though the ktana doesn't have any tzoya there, and like all the mefarshim point out, and there is no odor, because if there's an odor, it makes no difference. There is no odor. Still, since the Ketana is considered auxiliary to the Gedola, if you can't daven in the Gedola, you can't daven in the Ketana. However, Tzoya b'Ketana, let's say there's Tzoya in the Ketana, there halacha is going to be Mutter Likris Krishma b'Gedola. But Avdi Nereta points out that halacha is like this, that you're not allowed to have relations with your wife in a room with a svarim. Here he says it's just the opposite. He says if there are svarim in the gdoila, you will be allowed to have relations in the ktana, but if there's svarim in the ktana, you won't be allowed to have relationship in the gdoila. Ramosha has another interesting shaila, somewhat related to this gemara. He says, let's say the shul is built that has a bathroom right off the shul. So he says that you should try not to build a shul that way, and if you build it that way, the right thing to do is to have double doors before you go into the bathroom. But let's say you made the bathroom later or whatever the situation is, and you have a bathroom with only one door, and the door to the bathroom is open. Are you allowed to daven in the shul? She says you're allowed to, because it's the bathroom is the ktana, the shul is the gedola. The Gemara just said that the gedola is never auxiliary to the ktana. And you continue, and if you're davening, and the right thing again is to close the door, and make sure there's no odor for sure. If there's an odor, you're not allowed to daven, but otherwise you could continue davening. Goes back to Gemara to Masechta Erevin. Amaluhu Abaya. So Abaya said to them, Abaya overheard this entire conversation, and he says like this, Im kain mitzinu mechitzel iser. He says, what happened here is, because we have a mechitza, there's an iser. Shemoli a mechitza, that marchik dal amas v'zareya, vila hashta surah. His question refers to diagram 326. When we started speaking about Hilchas Kalayim, what did we say? We said that the halacha is that in a regular situation, not with a ketana and a gdola, what's the halacha? You just separate between the different plants four amos and enough. Here we're saying that wouldn't work. That if you just wanted to start planting a different type of plant, four amos into the ketana, that wouldn't be good enough. Why? Because I have the mechitzas. Were not to have these mechitzas, then I would be allowed to. So Abaya asks, what does mechitza always do? Mechitza separates. And what is the mechitza doing here? The mechitza connects. Makes no sense. Amle Abaya, imke mitzina mechitza l'isser. A mechitza is connecting, and that's why you can't plant in the ktan at all. Shemoli a mechitza. Had I not had this diagram, if I really had a regular diagram, machik dalaramis, I have to separate between the two plants dalaramis for zareya, and I can plant. Vilahashta now was saying a surah you can't plant anywhere in the ketana. Amle Rav Zeira Labaya. So Abaya said to Rav Zeira, I'll show you a case in our Gemara where mechitza also makes problem. V'lo mitzina mechitza l'iser v'tanan. We go back to our case. Chatz gedola shenifetz l'ketana. Diagram 325. Daloch is gedola muteres v'ketana surah. We said that you're allowed to carry our Mishnah. Said you could carry in the gdoila, whether in the gdoila what was there before, or from the bias to the gdoila, we said tupshotim, the ktana sura. Why? Can't you carry in the ktana? Because we said the ktana is a pischosh gdoila. What's going to happen now? Vila hishves gufel. Let's say if I turn diagram 325 into diagram 328, where I start off with these protrusions, and now I make straight walls. So what do I have here? I have the two chatzeris open to each other. And what's the halacha when I have two chatzeris open to each other? You can't carry neither. So what happened over here? A mechitza created iser. So you see that mechitza could create iser. So Abaya is so bothered. How could a mechitza make iser? I'll show you another case in our Gemara where mechitza makes iser. Vila hishvaz gufel. If I would straighten out the walls, gedola nami asura. Now I can't carry in the gedola, even though previously I could. Amla, he said, there it's not the creation of mechitzas that makes the iser. It's the destruction of mechitzas that makes the iser. Hasam silik mechitzasu. It's not that I made new mechitzas. I destroyed the previous mechitzas, and that's why I can't carry. But it's not that mechitzas make iser. And the Shail Shaivitz has a very interesting shaila. He says like this, let's say somebody had a garden, a yard next to a shul, next one house next to another house, and then the house became a shul, and he puts up around his yard mechitzas. will he be allowed to do anything in his house, or he's sharing a wall with a shul? So he says, there we'll apply the Gemara's concept. L'matzino mechitzis l'isser, creating mechitzis can't make it worse, because if I would have an open area next to a shul, I could do whatever I want in an open area. It's not considered one house next to another. Creating the mechitzis can't make it worse. And therefore you would be allowed to do, even though you're sharing a wall with the shul, you would be allowed to do your own private things in that new house.